Welcome to our show, Examine Life, on KKRN at 88.5 FM in Bella Vista, Round Mountain.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Pat.
And today we're going to examine
food, fun, facts, and fat. Our favorites.
I don't like that fat part.
I know. Let me read this first. Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station.
Because the world is a wonderful place of diverse opinions.
That's right. And summertime, which is what we're in or coming into, is the time for fun foods like homemade ice cream, corn on the cob, watermelon, cobblers, barbecue, going to the fair and eating all those decadent foods.
Oh, yeah.
Picnics.
Corn dogs.
Drinking sweet drinks.
Cotton candy.
Yes. That's what summer is. Summer's to provide all that good stuff and fun. And look how long it is. The days get so long that you have time to go out after work or whatever. And do fun things and go eat fun places.
Yeah, but all the carb-rich foods that I love to eat in the summertime, they always make me hot. Like, carbs
yes.
make me really hot. So in the summertime, it's horrible because I can't eat as many of those delicious foods because then I overheat.
Nor should you. You should give up carbs in the summertime and eat all of the abundance of fruits and vegetables that can be cold. Put them in the refrigerator, and
well,
they're cold and refreshing.
That actually doesn't work.
Yes, it does.
No. The cold, that's something they did prove. When you try to drink a cold drink in the summer, your body generates calories to overcome that cold and actually burns more calories and heats you up. The same thing when you try to drink hot foods. They can actually cool you down.
That's true, but you burn more calories. Just to warm
but that
them
was
up.
That was about me overheating. I don't want to overheat, so I shouldn't eat them at all. We'll
no.
get into that later.
Yeah, those are winter comfort foods, the carbs. But anyway, so getting out in the sun, we make vitamin D, and that builds our immune system. And eating healthy foods restores our bodies the vitamins and nutrients that we used up over the winter when those fruits and vegetables were not available.
And some of those vitamins and minerals and so on are not, they don't stay in your body, so you need to take them in regularly. That's what's great about the world today. You know, I can go down all year long and get apples and oranges and all that. I remember going to the Bidwell house with my daughter on a field trip when she was in school. And they, you know, after harvest, basically your whole diet was cantaloupes.
Yeah, you'd eat whatever fruit was in season.
Yeah.
And in the 1700s, they actually found grave sites for colonists from the 1700s, and they would suffer higher death rates in the winter among those who did not eat berries, melons, and fruits of the summer. And it wasn't because they stored those things over the summer. It was your body replenished the depletion of those from the last winter.
Right.
So over the summertime, you rebuilt your body so that you could sustain another harsh winter.
Right.
And so that's why they became important. And starting in spring when you have a lot of berries and then the hard fruits like nut fruits, peaches, plums, apricots, and then in the winter you get more of your melons and cantaloupes, and those are the ones that are higher in the sugar and starch content too.
Right, yeah, I actually avoid all of those. I do shakes every other day with berries, but that's about the only fruit, berries, banana, and I put an orange in there. Just because of the sugar that's in fruits, and I, but you know, they are good for you. They have a lot of fiber. They have a lot of vitamins.
Water,
they have minerals.
A lot of water.
They have water. It's just that they do it. Well, calories.
Talking about the 1700s, it was interesting. Bob Harper had a heart attack. He was the trainer for the Biggest Loser show over the years,
mm-hmm.
and he had a major heart attack that almost killed him over the winter. And ironically, they traced it back to his ancestors having scurvy, which is a vitamin C deficiency, and their bodies developing a rare protein to help protect their body from the scurvy, which is actually what caused his heart attack.
That makes sense.
Isn't
you know
that
why
wild?
They used to call British people limeys, right?
Yes, because they were the ones that discovered the scurvy.
They used to take limes with them on ships.
Yes, anything that is citrus. And that's the big rage on the grapefruit diet, too. was citrus actually makes your body non-acid but alkaline, and it's easier for your body to burn calories if it's alkaline rather than acid. And so that's the whole theory behind the grapefruit diet. It's also good, like if you have lemon in your water when you just drink, go to a restaurant. They started recommending that because they found bacteria in the water or the glasses.
I thought it was just for flavor. It kind of tastes good.
Yes, but it's also very nutritious for your body.
Well, you know what's very good for your body, for all you people out there that strictly diet to lose weight, and that's exercise. Vigorous, exhausting exercise.
Well, let's stick to the foods, okay? Yeah. A serving of fruit, an average serving of fruit, which is about a half a cup, is less than 100 calories, except for pineapple and apples.
And I think we had this talk earlier. I don't eat a half a cup of anything.
Well, think about it. If you have an apricot, that's a half a cup of fruit, that one little apricot.
I would never have an apricot.
Oh.
If I was going to eat apricots, I would eat them.
I love apricots. Anyway, and those fruits have less than 10 carbs per serving. And most fruits are 75% water to help rehydrate you when you're out there sweating or playing in the sun or digging in the yard, whatever it is. It's all about the carbs and water and staying hydrated. And fruits are mostly 75% water, which is good for you. You know, helps rehydrate you. And yes, there's fructose in sugar. I mean, in fruit. But it's the kind of sugar that our body recognizes. And it's also coupled with fiber. And fiber slows that sugar getting into our bloodstream. So it's really good for you.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of sugar. It's actually a smaller molecule, 6 hydrogens instead of 12. I don't know what that means, but the dextrose that we eat, the table sugar, that's C12-822, I think.
And that's the worst. It instantly goes into the bloodstream and spikes that
Well, some fruits do too. I mean, that's why diabetics, one of the first things you do is give them an orange or orange juice, because there's a lot of sugar.
A lot of citrus has a lot of sugar. But talking about fruit, stay away from the fruit juices because they take out the fiber, which is the beneficial part, and they add sugar, and that's not the kind you want. Even some canned fruits, like canned fruit cocktails, and they have corn syrup in them, which is just another form of simple sugar.
Right. Or, learn to make your own juices.
Yeah.
It's a little more expensive probably, but...
Way too expensive.
Yeah.
Eating the fruit. Fruit has gone up in the markets this last couple of years tremendously. Used to be you could get any fruit for 99 cents a pound, and now you can't find fruit for 99 cents a pound. If you're lucky, you can find it for a buck and a half a pound.
Right.
And that's 50% increase minimum. Most of them are $2 and $3 a pound.
But the amazing thing is we can get it all year.
Well, here, yes, in California, we can get a lot of things all year long, but that's not true in the rest of the country.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, some of the fruit I get comes from Mexico or comes from South America. So why would New York not be able to get it just as easily as me?
Well, you can easily get it, but it is so expensive that a lot of markets don't carry it, or they, because of the high spoilage, they don't want to carry it because people won't pay $5 a pound for something. Hmm. I mean, do you buy... we love avocados, and we eat a lot more of them when they're $1.50 each than when they're $3 each.
Well, it's true. It's more expensive. It's like everything else in modern life. I mean, our lives have a basic cost because of all the electronics and the internet and all that stuff, and it's the same thing with food. We can get food from all over the world, but it's going to cost us.
That's right. It's going to cost you something. And you know what? The fruit idea is to get also your kids involved. In the summertime, this is the best time of year to have those parties with them where you have a smoothie bar where they pick and choose their fruits and stuff to make a smoothie out of, or a slushy bar where you start out as strictly ice and you flavor it. Instead of flavoring it with syrups, flavor it with fruit. Or you can make homemade ice cream, or you can have frozen yogurt. There's plenty of machines that make the ice cream can also make frozen yogurt. And these are great things for kids to learn how to do, and they'll enjoy eating it much more because they help make it. There's also a new Jell-O out, and I'm so excited about the new Jell-O. It's made with cane sugar instead of artificial sugars, and it's flavored with juice, fruit juice, instead of artificial flavoring. So it is so much better for you than the old-fashioned Jell-O. And I know it's Jell-O, and a lot of people don't like it, but think about it. If you put fruit in it, you can put it in a popsicle mold.
What's the difference between cane sugar and artificial sugar?
Your body sees them differently. Artificial sugar, anything your body does not recognize that is a normal substance, and I mean normal by not necessarily organic, but something that has been seen for hundreds of years in your body.
But sugar is a molecule. It doesn't taste the same way if you don't have...
It's different. Any foreign substance that your body does not recognize, and I'm going to get into this heavily when we get to high fructose corn syrup because it's the worst thing on earth to eat. But anyway, the kids, go back to the kids. This is a great time to teach them how to make homemade lemonade, where you just make it with lemons, water, and sugar, and teach them how they taste as it gets sweeter and sweeter. It comes to a point where it gets too sweet, and probably not for your kids, but teach them how that sugar impacts their taste buds. This is a great way to do this, is just by making lemonade. And there's other things you can make with kids in the summertime. You can take grapes, roll them in dry Jell-O, and freeze them. And it becomes like a poppable popsicle type idea. And they're great. They're sweet. They're fruit. They're cold. And kids love anything cold in the summertime.
Okay. I believe you. I'm still stuck on the sugar thing.
By the way, there's
I'm trying to think of the South Pacific peoples and the obesity. Anyway, let's move on.
That's not from fruit. Anyway, there's a new pitcher out also that is I just love. I have one of these, and it's where there's like a tumbler attached to the top of the pitcher, and you unscrew it, you fill it full of anything, lemon slices, berries, mint, anything you want, and you put it back on the top, and then you put it in water, and it's a natural way to flavor the water, and it tastes fantastic. After a while, water doesn't quite satisfy you when you really have drank 18 glasses of it over the summer day.
Then that's probably a subjective thing, because I love water.
I do too, but after a while, it just, you know, it's like I need something else, and I don't want, you know, necessarily a soda, and I don't want tea. Black tea is one of the biggest contributors to kidney stones. But so it's great to have naturally flavored water. You don't have to go and buy water that's flavored. You can flavor your own water. And it's great. Like I say, you can put anything in there that you want.
So the medical community has finally decided that fat is not bad for us?
That's right. You know how they've been talking about low-fat diets for, a couple of decades now?
Yeah. No, my wife and I were having this conversation this morning about some of these people that just have gone on this non-fat vegan diet, and they look like death warmed over, and it's just, morbid obesity is for most people is caused by an obsessive compulsive problem with food
and overeating.
Well, those people I'm describing have the same problem on reverse polarity. They're so obsessive compulsive about no fat, no meat, no nothing, and they're wasting away. It's not good for your body. And actually, the obese person with a heart attack, or not obese, but pretty heavily overweight up to a point, has more survivability than the skinny person after a heart attack.
The one thing that I have noticed in vegans who don't eat any kind of meat whatsoever, if they do not know how to balance their proteins, their skin will get a pallor where they lack sheen to their skin, and it's because they don't know how to balance their proteins effectively.
Well, this is something else we were talking about, that just because of human nature, the type of person, not everyone by any means, but the likely person who's going to be strictly vegetarian is also someone who's very controlling about how much food they eat. And if you're going to be a vegetarian, you need massive amounts of food. That's why you see herbivores grazing all day long, because you have to have a lot of food. And I've been to lunch with people who are vegetarians and have this little bit of leaf in their salad with no dressing or anything, and you just can't give a body nutrition that way.
I don't know. I've always eaten meat. I've never been a vegetarian, and I don't know a lot of them. But
no, I'm a meat eater too, but that's... Look, so of course that skews my belief about it. I just think an extreme in either direction is not healthy.
Yeah. Well, they finally decided that fat, our brain needs fat.
Our whole nervous system, yeah.
Yes, we need the lining, the sheathing on our spinal cord and all of our nerves need fat to stay pliable.
Yeah, diseases like ALS is when that coating starts to deteriorate.
Right, and now they're finding that fat also satiates your appetite, so you wind up eating less overall in a day, because even if you put, they're giving the example of coffee. If you drink coffee and you add whole cream or half and half instead of skim milk, you will feel satiated and you won't have to go and eat a meal in 2 hours.
That is true for most people, but nothing satiates me when it comes to food, but... That's another story, but it definitely is good for you. And eating fat is just finally being determined, not so much what causes the weight gain and the diabetes and all that. It's the carbs and the sugars and all of that.
And they're finding there are good carbs. There's, you know, omega-3s. We desperately need omega-3s. That's good fats. We need the omega-7s. And if you start your day with a balance, and they're finding that even bad foods that we classified as too fat, they have omega-3s in them. Half and half, even though everyone thinks it's all omega-6s, it's not. There are some omega-3s in there.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's saturated fat. In its right proportion is not only not bad for you, it's essential.
And your body takes longer to digest it than it does non-fat.
The only fat that you really should not have in your diet, if you can avoid it, is the trans fats that are artificially made for fast food and things like that.
That's right. But they're finding that even, you know, they talked for years and years about not having butter. And
right.
Now they're realizing that butter is better than all the other alternatives that have been on the market.
I remember Susan Powder in the early 2000s. I was trying to lose all that heavy weight that I had, and she had a low fat diet or non fat diet, and so I ate all these carbs from her recipes and almost became diabetic.
Yeah,
I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Yeah, you can't eliminate fats. And like I say, they're finding that it's essential. Your body gets a certain number of omega-3s, and that does come in olive oil, and a lot of the good fats, avocados, have it. But most other fats have it, too. They have
right.
The omega-3s. They just have more omega-6s. And it's now essential. They now know that the brain needs it. Along with the rest of your body.
I never knew about the omega-3s, and I was fascinated the first time I opened a flax oil pill, and it smelled like fish.
Yeah.
and it had never dawned on me until then. It was the oil that makes fish smell like fish.
And it's interesting that flax seed, you cannot digest flax seed. That's why you need to have either the oil or the meal where it's already been ground up, because your body will not process flax seed.
Yeah, you can. I think you can buy powder.
Yeah, but, I use the flaxseed meal. But what is the next greatest thing that men love to do in the summertime?
The next greatest thing?
Yeah, other than fat.
Well, why just men?
Well, it's because I think of it.
Isn't that a little sexist?
Yes, it is. But it is where men thrive when it comes to cooking.
I mean, remember our disclaimer here now. Let's not be sexist.
Would you use the word barbecue already?
The Barbie. Yeah, we do love to barbecue. I'm terrible at it, but barbecue is just so delicious.
And it's a socializing thing. Everybody stands around and cooks and talks.
Yep.
And it's a bonding process for families. It's a way of teaching kids how to cook. It's one of the most fabulous social food things we do short of Thanksgiving.
And basically, it seems to be just going back to the time right after we discovered fire.
Yes.
Fire wasn't just to... It wasn't so much about sterilizing the food or anything.
No.
It made it more digestible.
And it heated you. I mean, it heated the area.
But it was, you were able to process proteins better, because when you cook meat, it's more digestible than when you eat it raw.
It breaks it down, yes. And men thrive in this arena, because you get somebody hooked on barbecue and they will cook the whole meal out there. They will cook meat and potatoes and veggies and corn. And you can even put fruit on the barbecue. Coat it with a little bit of honey or something that gives it, like we had talked about cutting peaches in half, putting honey on there and then putting them on the grill. Oh, talk about good. You anything like that is part of that whole meal.
I've got a full size restaurant level stove on my back deck and a big barbecue, and I hardly ever barbecue.
Really?
So I'm more of a wannabe.
Well, we barbecue a lot, and I have a son that barbecues everything. I mean, he can put veggies, and they now have this cedar that is so thin, it's almost like foil, and you can roll it around like asparagus or anything to get that cedar flavor into whatever you're cooking. It's great for fish if you don't want to do fish on foil on the barbecue. And this cedar wrapping... And I saw it at a local grocery store, so it must be readily available. But you can wrap the fish in it and get that same kind of wood-fired taste. So it's another new, you know, thing for barbecues.
We are a weird society today.
But think, you can cut vegetables, bell pepper, zucchini, anything, even pineapple, mushrooms, all kinds of things you can cut in half. You know, just coat them with olive oil.
Kebabs, too.
Yes, and throw it out on the barbecue, and you have a complete meal, and it's don't heat up the house. You know, you don't have to bake anything. It's not another microwave meal. I mean, haven't we had enough of that all winter?
Microwave, that it does have its purpose, but not cooking food. Sometimes reheating some kinds of food, but, yeah, microwave is not a way to eat a dinner.
But think, you can put pork chops, you can put bratwurst, you can put anything in there. You can even put meatballs on there. If you parboil, bring water to a boil, drop in your pork chops or your meatballs in there for about 5 minutes so that they're kind of pre-cooked, and then throw them on the barbecue, you get that same, they don't fall apart, they have that same rich flavor as if you had just barbecued them.
Well, the best thing to do is get one of those little racks that are fully enclosed, they have a handle on them.
Yes.
And you put things in there, and then you just turn that upside down.
That's right. And you can put anything in there, too. And now there's, you know, bison at the local markets. You can buy bison, which is very different. It's very similar to meat, but it's slightly different. It's supposed to be better for you.
I think it has less fat, probably.
There's some stores in town that have goat that you can cook on the barbecue. You can even get alligator, I believe, at some place in town. Someone was telling me you can buy alligator meat. So there's a lot of things. You just have to remember not to char it black because that's where the nitrates take hold, and those are not good for you when you char your meat to a black. But it's a wonderful time. And if you do picnics, you get family gatherings, and you can go to the lake or somewhere else where you can do picnics. You just have to remember food safety. If you're going to serve something cold, it should be kept cold all day. If you're going to serve it hot, it should be kept hot. From the time you cook it to the time you eat it. Don't mix surfaces of meat and fresh food like vegetables and fruit that you're going to eat without cooking.
And things like knockwurst and brats and things like that barbecue wonderfully.
Yes, yes.
They're delicious. Not so good for you, but really good.
Yes, really good. And you know what's really good is when that barbecue's going is plug in the ice cream maker and make homemade ice cream. We did this over Memorial Day weekend. It was fabulous. And I'll give you a really quick recipe for homemade ice cream that is great. It doesn't have all the chemicals, preservatives, and all that stuff in it. I cannot eat store-bought ice cream or soft serve. It just tears up my stomach.
I have an attachment for my
blender?
KitchenAid mixing machine. I have an attachment for ice cream, but it's still in the box. I never used it. Had it for 2 or 3 years now.
Try it. If you take 9 eggs, this goes into a 5-quart.
I have lots of eggs.
Yes. And this goes into a 5-quart mixer. You don't have to make 5 quarts. But take 9
yes,
eggs.
I do.
And mix those for a minute so they become a little frothy. And then you add 4 cups of whipping cream. That's the heavy kind of whipping cream, which is just about the quart. 2 cups of half and half. 2 cups of sugar. 2 teaspoons of vanilla. And 1.5 cups of strawberries or peaches or something. You don't have to flavor it if you don't want to. You just get less amount of ice cream.
Will it still make ice cream if you don't put in the sugar?
It just won't taste good. It tastes like milk.
Well, no. It's going to taste like heavy whipping cream, not like milk.
Yeah, but whipping cream doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. It's what you put whipping cream with that gives it the great taste.
The reason I ask is I wish, and you Starbucks people out there and you Dutch brothers, you need to make a mocha that has no sugar and let me add the sugar to it instead of putting artificial sweetener in it.
Yes, artificial sweetener is not good for you.
We'll move on, but
anyway, all you have to do is put the you place your paddle in the ice cream maker. You pour in the mixture. You put on the lid and you put it in the churn and plug it in and put the rock salt and ice around it. And you don't have to put it in the freezer. You can leave it in that ice cream maker when it's done, and it will freeze hard faster than if you take it out and put it in the freezer. So just leave it in there. That rock salt cold is colder than your freezer is going to get it, because your can is going to have to be reheated.
And the reason I asked the question, by the way, about the sugar was to make sure that it wouldn't affect the recipe, because there are recipes always have a certain amount of sugar, mm-hmm. and some of us really don't like things sweet. I actually enjoy the chocolate that's almost unsweetened.
Now, if you use chocolate, you might not want to sweeten it, but this was not a real sweet-tasting ice cream.
Well, no, I mean like dark chocolate with no sugar.
Right. If that's your flavor, put that in.
Yeah,
they make a Hershey's dark chocolate syrup.
Right.
So you could put that in there if that's the kind of chocolate flavor you like.
That's got sugar, but I don't want to hold up the conversation, but I'm just saying, so we might put one cup of sugar and be
chocolate.
Happy with
it.
Yeah.
But most of the time, and you can, put chocolate syrup or anything in there, any kind of flavoring you want, butterscotch or that salted caramel. You can put the caramel ice cream topping in there with some salt and make it salted caramel. So there's a lot of ways, chocolate mint. You can put some mint in there and some chocolate chips. Whatever you want, you can put in there for that 1.5 cups of fruit. The difference is, if you don't put fruit and you're just going to put a syrup in there, you're not going to fill the whole ice cream maker. And I know that's not a big deal unless you're having a big barbecue with 20 people and then everybody wants a little bit and you don't have enough. But anyway, I digress.
Ice cream.
Yes, it's summertime fun. It's fabulous. Like
ice cream's always a big production for me. I have to get a can of tropical fruit and rinse all the corn syrup out of it and add bananas and nuts.
Yeah, just take that tropical fruit, the pineapple or whatever it is, peaches even, and run it through the processor and put it in the little molds and make popsicles out of it. It's delicious.
Oh, no, this is an ice cream production.
Okay.
Anyway, we can lose more weight in the summer. Yes. I don't know about that.
Yes, we can, only because the days are so much longer and we're outside more. But we have to remember about hydration. When we're outside, we will lose a lot more liquid out of our bodies. And dehydration is technically defined as you lose 2% of your body, the water in your body. But you should start getting thirsty long before you even lose 1%. And you only start losing the electrolytes in your body after 1 hour of working out where you're sweating.
Well, the other thing, too, it sounds a little gross maybe, but, if you're out working in the fields or gardening or doing something really exertive in the heat, you can also go by, peeing.
Yes.
If you're not producing any water, then you have a problem.
And if it's not, if it's darker than light-colored lemonade,
right.
You're dehydrated.
Yeah.
It should be light-colored lemonade. When you're sweating, you are losing water. And you need to replenish it, and don't wait till 3 hours go by and you feel really tired. You've already started the dehydration process. And children and babies lose water faster than adults. They can dehydrate much faster than adults do.
And I'm not sure if I lose weight more easily in the summer, because when it gets to be 100 degrees, no, I'm actually not outside.
No, but you're also not eating hot breads and the hot soups and all of the heavy carbs that we eat, like mashed potatoes and gravy in the summer so much, because we don't want something hot. We want something cold like a salad.
Well, you're right. I shouldn't eat those kind of foods in the summer.
Yes, that's true. We'll take a quick break here.
We'll be back shortly. This is Examine Life on KKRN 88.5 FM. This is a community-supported station, and any of you who are listening to us tonight are the community. So let us know what you like. You can email our program at examinelife@peoplepc.com. That's examinelife@peoplepc.com. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
My hungry heart, leave me one thing before we part. A kiss to build a dream on.
Join the discussion. KKRN boasts a variety of talk radio, both from local and syndicated sources. We want to stimulate thoughtful and meaningful conversation. KKRN can offer more real conversation because we are supported by listeners. You have a voice.
Making believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live.
The infinite possibilities of music are showcased by the eclectic panorama of song styles that you can find on KKRN Radio. You won't find our musical explorations on more mainstream commercially driven stations. From classic country to new age, from classic folk to classic rock, from blues to jazz, and music from outside our country. You'll find it all on KKRN listener-supported radio, radio that makes you listen.
I'm alone with my fancies. I'll be with you, weaving romances, making believe they're true. Oh, give me lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live. Oh, give me what you alone can give. I kiss the pill I dream on.
Welcome back to Examine Life. Tonight we're talking about fun food, facts, and fat. And one of the things that summer does is change what we eat, and we need to be cognizant that we don't overeat. Overeating is one of our biggest problems as Americans.
Right.
And if you think of your plate as a clock, it helps. And you can use an 8-inch plate. There's nothing the matter with using an 8-inch plate. Our dinner plates are 10
inches. Oh, I can think of so many things the matter with that.
I know you will eat a lot less, and you won't think about it once you get used to using an 8-inch plate, because the plate will be full, and it doesn't have to have that extra 20% on it, which a 10-inch plate will give you.
Well, I do want to have just a brief discussion about that. Overweight and overeating comes in different forms. A lot of people promoting diets talk about portion control. Well, that's easy if you're a person who can handle portion control. Someone like me, who's a compulsively an eater, what I did was change the foods so that I can still eat the massive amount of foods that I eat and not gain the weight, because I'm a compulsive eater. So when you tell someone who's a compulsive overeater, just eat this plate. Now your idea is a good one, because there are a lot of people who are overweight who can do portion control. People like me cannot. So what we do is we set them up for failure. So this information that you're about to give out is very important, but it's only for a segment.
Well, this is true. But again, this is how you need to teach your children to eat, too. If you look at your plate as a clock, and from noon to 3, you don't have to weigh or measure anything, but that's where all your protein goes. That's your meats, your beans, anything that's high protein, that's where it's going to go, is from noon to 3 o'clock.
But the day's longer in the summer, so I want to have two plates.
No, you only get 3 meals like every other day.
Okay.
Okay, then from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock is where all your carbs go, and that's rice, potatoes, corn on the cob, bread, all of that. And think about it, this is 25% of the plate. Same with that protein, it's 25% of the plate. But kids don't grasp that, but they do grasp the face of the clock. So from 6 o'clock to midnight or noon is going to be all your vegetables. That's what you want to load up on. And that will satiate you. It'll make you feel full. And the fat on your protein will make you feel full. So you shouldn't have to eat more than 25% carbohydrates.
Sure sounds wonderful.
It is. And if you teach your kids this way, then they will be able to grow up as an adult without the eating problem, the overeating problem that we as adults have.
Well, again, I have to contest that to some degree, because we talk about various populations. And I happen to know of a grandchild of mine who doesn't want anything but the bread of the pizza and always has been. But her family's not that way, and her parents didn't raise her that way. But it's a, you know, people have biochemistry that's different. So, and what you're saying is correct. I just want to be sure everyone understands there are alternatives if you have a compulsion or something like that. And training when they're young is important.
Yes.
It just will have varying effects depending on genetics.
And if you think about it, you can, teaching children about dessert, you know, for decades, we didn't have dessert every day.
Right.
That was a Sunday thing or a birthday.
Or, and a lot of times it was fruit or something, not candy.
Right. And you can make fruit kebabs for kids, and that can be dessert. You can even freeze them, and it's like a popsicle. I mean, it's great to teach kids that as an alternative dessert in the summer to cakes and pies and cobblers and all the other things that we indulge in maybe on the weekends.
And watermelon's just yummy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want to talk about the body trying to process unknown substances. And these are things as preservatives, artificial flavorings, artificial colorings, high fructose corn syrup, all these alternative sugars that our body does not recognize as food. And they have proven that we store it as belly fat. When the body, the stomach, doesn't know what to do with it, tells the brain, I don't know what to do with this, the brain says, put it in the belly fat. I don't know what else to do with it. Just store it away, because that's not going to go away. So these are the things that you have to pay attention to. Preservatives are coated with a molecule our stomach cannot break down.
All preservatives?
Most all preservatives. And the only way you can break them down is to chew them 20 times. Saliva is a digestive enzyme. And if you chew that bite for 20 bites, you can start breaking down the coating on that preservative. That's why food can last 5 days in the market when they make a cake. And you make a cake at home and it's not going to last 5 days. It's going to dry out. But that artificial flavorings, those preservatives, all of that is unknown to our body. The same with all these false sugars that we put in Diet Cokes, that we put in other packaging. High fructose corn syrup is a false sugar. Our body does not know what to do with that, and it stores it as belly fat. That's why we're all getting bellies. And our sugar consumption has gone up 20 times since 1950. I mean, that's incredible. You think about it. We didn't, in the 1950s, there weren't a lot of choices. I don't even think Twinkies were around, were they, in the 1950s?
Well, I don't know, but there was lots of candy, I remember.
Oh, yeah, well, there was candy, but candy wasn't available all the time.
When I was very little, I can remember in South Central Los Angeles, I usually didn't have money, but, I mean, they had straws full of powdered sugar that you bought and sucked
on the straw. I remember
that,
but you didn't go to the store and buy candy every day.
What were the stores there for?
We didn't go to the store every day and buy candy.
Oh, well, if we had any money, we went to the store and got candy.
Well, they were penny candies.
Yeah.
I remember they were penny, but anyway, our consumption of sugar has gone up 20 times since then. And a lot of that is hidden in processed foods. You're not eating 20 cubes of sugar.
Right.
You know, it's hidden in the foods we eat.
Right. I was making my own kind of Thousand Island salad dressing, and I was using relish and a healthy mayonnaise and ketchup. And then I remembered how much sugar is just in ketchup, so I actually just blend potato or tomatoes now, and I put them in there instead of the ketchup.
You know how hard it is to find ketchup or barbecue sauce without high fructose corn syrup in it?
Well, sure.
It's incredible. High fructose corn syrup.
My wife makes our barbecue sauce, so it's...
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. But high fructose corn syrup is 8 times as addictive as cocaine is.
Well, yeah, so, you know, our bodies evolved to maximize calorie intake because they weren't so readily available back then. And that's the thing to understand is, for those of you out there who are like me, who crave certain foods that are bad for you and crave them way too much, the gradual approach can work, where you learn to eat things that aren't quite as sweet by gradually reducing the amount of sweet. It can be done.
Yes. And I want to talk a little bit about high fructose corn syrup. It is actually banned in Canada and Europe. They have proven that it is a false sugar that confuses the brain. It produces ghrelin. That's our enzyme that makes us keep eating, saying we're not full. It kills the leptin production, which is the enzyme that tells us we are full and stop eating. It's 8 times as addictive as cocaine. Our body stores it as fat, and that usually is on belly, thighs, hips, and our rear ends. It's also been proven to be a hormone disruptor, and it disrupts our digestion. So why would we eat it? It's banned in other countries. We have to start diligently paying attention to labels and avoiding food with high fructose corn syrup in it.
Well, most people don't seem to want to pay attention, though.
I know, but it is critical to your children's health that they not get started on high fructose corn syrup. It really is. The more you eat, the more you want to eat. It's a vicious cycle.
But I think for modern parents, it's easier to just let them have what they want.
Yes, I know. But think about the whole point of raising your child is to train them to be an adult.
I totally agree.
And part of that is to learn how to eat. And it's not just like mom and dad, because mom and dad have a totally different digestive system than children. And they know that high fructose corn syrup breaks down the lining of your intestines, your digestive tract. And they now know that digestive problems is one of our major causes of weight gain and some diseases. It starts out as what they call intestinal dysbiosis, and that's where the lining of our intestinal tract becomes destroyed.
Well, probably even a bigger factor is the actual biota in the gut that does have a direct effect on weight gain. And we've talked about this on previous shows.
Yes.
That when you eat those heavily sugared foods, you are promoting the wrong bacteria and killing the right bacteria. And your brain, this is something that has been proven. I've read the research myself, that your brain has a direct line to the gut.
Yes.
And that's one of those things. When you talk about ghrelin or anything else, that direct line, those bacteria will tell your brain you need to put more of this sugar in.
Yes. And part of that digestion is supposed to give us energy. It's not to store fat. And if you're not eating those kinds of sugars, then you're eating table sugar or cane sugar. Your body can digest it and give you energy. Whereas if you're eating a false sugar, it's going to store it, and you're not going to get any energy from it.
Well, and the other thing is, when you do have the wrong kind of fats, they're harder for your body to access. I mean, your body does try to store fat because that was survival back when we evolved.
Yes.
But the fat needs to be able to, your body needs to get to it to harvest the calories, and that's where you have the problem
with
those fats.
To reuse it when you need it. Right, exactly. as we age and we get this destruction to our intestinal tract, we really need to start entertaining the idea of supplementing with digestive enzymes. If you've got gas all the time and you feel bloated and you feel that stuffed feeling all the time, chances are you have
an imbalance.
Yes, an intestinal lining problem. And there's 3 of the major digestive enzymes that if you're going to take any, you should look for those that contain lipase, which breaks down fats, amylase, which breaks down carbs, and bromelain, which breaks down protein. And ironically, bromelain can also help heal that gastrolining of your intestines. So if you've got those problems of bloating and gas and feeling like you're stuffed after you eat a meal and you can't quite, or you get that heartburn all the time, then you should entertain the idea of looking into taking some good digestive enzymes.
And also watch the times of day that you eat, too.
Yes.
You shouldn't eat too late.
Yeah. And they're now finding that foods are becoming more important than exercise, because we cannot exercise away all the fat. that we're consuming, all the sugar we're consuming.
Well, no, it is a combination of things. But the big point that I would like to make is that if you think about it, well, a lot of people just care about how their body looks. But the real reason you want to lose weight, or you should want to lose weight, is because you're healthier.
Yes.
At a normal weight, not a skinny, but a normal weight for you, which may be a little overweight.
Yes.
But exercise is half of the health spectrum. So it is just as important as food. People need to understand that.
You cannot exercise away belly fat.
No, you can't. But my point is, when you tell people that, they say, okay, great, I don't have to exercise, I just have to eat the right kind of foods. No, your body is designed to move, and muscle has an effect on your metabolism and on your hormones and everything else. So you cannot diet yourself to health either.
No.
It's an equal portion of both.
What you need at a minimum is to walk that 20 minutes three times a week. And it can be in the morning, in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. But walking has multiple benefits.
And that is a minimum.
Yes. And you should set a goal of 10,000 steps a day. Get one of those inexpensive, the step counter thing, pedometer.
Yeah.
And it'll count your steps. And you'd be surprised how few steps you take. Get one of those, and you should target 10,000 steps a day. And think about how many steps you're going to take on a 20-minute walk. Probably close to 1,000. Just that one walk. So it's a good thing to look into as an alternative.
Exercise is very important.
Yeah, it is. The other thing we should talk about on the digestive enzymes is, we skipped over kind of the probiotic effect on your intestinal tract. You should have a ratio of 75% good bacteria and only 25% bad bacteria. And most of us are the reverse. And that is, we lose a lot of energy production because of it.
And again, if you want to balance those, you don't necessarily have to take supplements. You just eat the right kind of foods that promote the right kind of bacteria. I mean, we've talked about this before in previous shows. Bacteria of the right kind are not only okay, they're essential to your survival.
And these are like your yogurts, your Greek yogurts.
Well, even sourdough bread. I mean, there are foods that promote bacteria and foods that contain bacteria.
Right.
And they both are important.
Right. Your Greek yogurts, for example, are the only yogurts that come with live bacteria. And if you're a fan of Greek yogurt, be sure and look at the label and see that it has live cultures in it. If it does not, and I believe Yoplait is one of the ones that has a Greek yogurt out that has absolutely no live cultures in it, you're not getting the benefit of the Greek yogurt, which has higher in protein content in it, but it also has those live cultures to feed the good bacteria in your body, in that intestinal tract. And again, these things, if you're going to take a supplement of a probiotic, you should have at least 10 live good bacteria strains in it and 10 billion active colony-forming cultures in it so that you get that good ratio in the intestinal tract.
And some of the foods we've been talking about tonight, the summer foods, can promote those bacteria as well because they're balanced. And a lot of our fruits have more sugar than they had, 10,000 years ago. But so you have to take them in moderation. But all those fruits have things that bacteria like to see.
Some of the, let's talk about some fun snacks that help us burn fat, for example. And those are like figs, beans, nuts, watermelon, strawberries, edamame, which is soybeans, pumpkin seeds, air popcorn, and Greek yogurt. These are some of the snacks that really burn fat. So if you your kids want snacks, these are the best choices for them all summer.
And again, when we talk about kids, it takes discipline, not for the kids, but for the parents, because learning to say no seems to be very difficult for modern parents.
It is.
And I don't get that, but because you should be caring about your kids a little more than that.
And if you're eating a lot of those carbs and sugars, here's some really found disheartening myself, these 7 ways to burn 1,000 calories. I don't do any of these, by the way. But the 7 ways to burn 1,000 calories, that's a That's not very much sugar and carbs. 1,000 calories doesn't take much to add up to that. But this is what it takes to burn that. Hiking for 2 hours, rock climbing for an hour, playing soccer for 80 minutes. If your child plays soccer for 80 minutes, he's going to burn 1,000 calories. If he plays basketball for 90 minutes, he's going to burn 1,000 calories. Football, 90 minutes of playing football, they're going to burn 1,000 calories. If you go mountain biking for 80 minutes, you'll burn 1,000 calories. Or kayaking for 2 hours. Look how much activity that takes to burn that 1,000 calories.
The thing is, though, what people need to understand is that you can change your metabolism. There's a couple of points I'd like to make real quick. We're getting close to the end of our show. But first of all of your limbs and your core doing weight-bearing exercise will build muscle. And the rate at which you burn these calories will change if you have more body mass made of muscle. In other words, if you have more muscle because you lift weights, and I don't mean bodybuilding, I mean just lift weights and build muscle.
Resistance training.
Then you don't have to hike for 2 hours because those muscles will burn more calories when you're asleep than you were burning before because they change your metabolism and they take a lot of calories to support them. So that's extremely important, and people need to realize that. There are exercises you can do that will promote calorie burning all the time.
And think about it. That one hamburger has 1,000 calories in it, and it takes this to get rid of it.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about is some of you that are like me out there, the way I used to eat, if you can manage to do vigorous exercise for just 1 week, every day, and eat the right kind of foods for just 1 week every day, your body in that 1 week, 2 weeks is better, but your body will become a fat-burning metabolism, and you'll find that when you revert back to the bad foods, it takes a couple of days for you to start gaining weight because your body has to convert back to a fat-storing metabolism.
And you'll be much more sluggish when you go back to your old diet. It will give you more energy to work out and eat the better foods.
That's right.
Get off the carbs and sugars. Let's talk about nine foods that starve off your appetite. So if you're one of those that you're always hungry, coffee, where you have caffeine, if you put, I've heard, and a lot of other countries do this, they put butter in their coffee, which slows the caffeine absorption so it lasts longer. One caution here about caffeine in kids. A normal adult can have 300 milligrams of caffeine a day, and that's just in 2 cups of coffee. Kids, that should be their maximum for the whole day is 300 milligrams of caffeine, and that's 2 sodas, and kids drink far more than that. If they're drinking energy drinks, that's not the same straight caffeine. Most of those have guarana in it. And 1 gram of that guarana equals 40 grams of caffeine. It also has taurine in it, which enhances the caffeine's effect. And recently, it was on the news this year that a child, meaning he was 15 years old, died from caffeine overdose. And that was the first time they have it documented that it was because of what he was consuming in caffeine in a day. It's just tragic. Number two would be avocados. The fiber and fatty acids tells your brain that you're full via the release of leptin. Nuts, a small amount, like, say, 12 of them. Again, the fatty acids at work. Ginger, it promotes full digestion of your food. Eggs have healthy fats, proteins, and minerals. Hard-boiled egg, deviled eggs, breakfast eggs.
And a lot of municipalities allow you to have hens. And, boy, yes. You let those things roam around your garden, and you've got omegas right in your eggs.
Yeah. Cayenne pepper, it raises your metabolism. Apples, the pectin and fiber in apples are beneficial. It will kill your appetite and it's slow to digest. Sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes have a unique starch that takes a long time to digest. And veggie soup, where you have a lot of fiber and water, it makes you feel full and it takes a while to digest all that fiber. So those are things that can, you know, kill your appetite. There's a supplement called Garcinia cambogia that is also has been known to be appetite suppressant for those that are really struggling with that craving, wanting to eat all day. And there's now evidence that if you crave sugar, there's a good chance that you have excess yeast in your body. Yeast is a normal substance for your body, and every doctor will tell you that. But if you're on a high sugar diet, yeast feeds on sugar, as does cancer. And any excess yeast will spill over into your bloodstream out of the intestine. It'll perforate the intestinal lining, spill into your bloodstream, and then it slows your metabolism. It causes brain fog, and it causes sugar cravings. And it fights the good bacteria in your intestinal
and
tract.
And sugar can cause the brain fogs, too. And,
yes.
It's interesting how people crave different things. I've been was obese for many years, and it wasn't sugar that I craved. It was the breads and the starches and things like that. Yeah. And
the carbohydrates are a sugar to your body.
Well, they are. If you put a piece of white bread in your mouth and you don't swallow it and you let it soak there for a while, you'll taste the sugar because your saliva breaks down those big sugar starch molecules down into the component sugars.
Yes.
So, but I never craved the candies and all that. It was always the carbs because it's probably more of the protein that's in starches.
Yeah, your heavy starch complex carbs.
I can't think of it now. The gluten.
Gluten.
I think I literally craved gluten.
And a lot of people have allergies, one of them gluten, but casein, which is a protein molecule in milk. Another one is lactose intolerance, and a lot of this is also caused from a lack of good digestive enzymes in your system.
Right.
You need to supplement with those, and there's a new one out called Digestive Spectrum that actually breaks down casein and lactose in the way if you eat dairy. I have been lactose intolerant for years now, and
yeah, I just don't do dairy, and then any reactions I have to dairy are very mild. I just don't like it. I love the taste,
yes,
but I minimize eating it for
Me
that
too.
Reason.
I love hard cheese.
And that's the thing, moderation. Generally, you can get away with almost anything if you just practice a little moderation and eat a wide variety of foods. You know, when you look at those people who just have that simple, you know, green salad with no dressing and nothing else, that's just not a balanced diet. That's not going to keep you healthy.
And a tidbit of knowledge is China does not eat dairy. It's not in their normal diet. In fact, some of the gourmet chefs now are trying to entice the Chinese market to eat more butter and creamed foods, because it's not in their normal diet, and the high-end restaurants are trying to introduce that as a gourmet type of food. So it's interesting. They can live without it. We could, too. We don't need all that cream, but it gives everything a wonderful texture and taste.
Yep.
You've been listening to
Examine Life. Our email address is examinelife@peoplepc.com. Please send us an email if you enjoyed the show or you didn't enjoy it or you want to tell us how wrong we are or how right we are. And we will be back on our next show. And I don't know exactly what that subject will be, but I'm sure it'll be fascinating, at least for us.
Yeah, the first and third Mondays of the month.
Yep.